thought that I was thinking about Simcha. I think we spoke about Simcha one time, but can't have too much Simcha, right? But I had a, I want to start with a Ha'ora, which hit me, that the command of Simcha, which you find v'samachta v'yisach sameyach v'samachta, right? It's found once in Vayikra in conjunction with Sukkos, and the next time it's found again is in Sefer Devarim, which found again and again and again. So I was wondering about that. Am I remembering correctly? So I looked in the Concordatio and assuming that I didn't go through it too quickly. For example, you have of course when I want to find a pasuk, I can't find a pasuk. Which is not conjunction with Yom Tov at all. Right? Then at the end of Parshas Re, you have it in conjunction with Yom Tov a few times. Here we have it in conjunction with we have it twice in Kisovo. With regards to Bikurim.
And
then, even before you get to the Torah, it says you're going to go there to Israel. You're going to bring the. You're going to go get the brachas and the clothes for Hagriz and Habeivol. You're going to build the mizbeach. You're going to bring karbonis. So this command of Simcha multiple times, and then you have the famous pasuk on the Torah, which talks about tachas shalavat hashem kachav b'simcha b'tum leivu. So I would like to just point out on that pasuk, the simple taitch of the pasuk, and this I pointed out to you before, is not talking about the way the belt says it over, right? Because it's saying that you're going to have these clothes coming to you, and in place of chalaf, which means lashon chalipin, and exchanging that which you didn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha B'Tiv Leiv Meirav Kol when you had everything, instead you're going to the exchange of that is instead of because that you were you weren't having a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha B'Tiv Leiv Meirav Kol, instead about Hashem Lekecha about Tzoy Yevecha Berav with some of Eimer Machasa Kol, that's instead of Simcha Meirav Kol.
Remember, right?
So this is going to be the exchange. You know, instead of you had the opportunity to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't take advantage of that opportunity, but instead of that, you're going to end up being serving your Oyavim in a situation of tremendous deprivation. So the Pasha Taitzbah is not because of, it's instead of. Right? That's what Tachas means. Tachas doesn't mean due to, it means instead of that, you're going to have that. You're exchanging something. That's Pasha Taitzbah on the Pasha. But the Rambam already quotes this pasuk, referring to the command of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. So it's like it's not like a Siddur Shavertel; it's an Arizal, but it's not just an Arizal; it's a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah talks about simcha. It talks about he says the simcha means being mesameach all the people, etc. He has a taich, but the concept he touches this pasuk is, and it's a medrash. So it's like that says that. So then it hit me like the next step of the thought process is like, I mean, it's not a shrier kash 100%, but imagine like this. Imagine like, you know, so this is now coming out to be like, this is the primary element all of the avodah is that you're not serving Kadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. Like that's the problem. So I'm going to motivate you to serve a simcha, because I tell you, if you don't serve a simcha, it's going to be horrible, and it's going to be, you know, you're going to have all this. Like, it's a very funny way to say, listen, be happy, and I'm warning you, if you're not happy, I'm going to punish you. I don't know that that's what normally you picture a person motivating someone to be happy. I wouldn't use the nusach of these type of things, right? Maybe One more point on that. Just, you know, grappling with a little bit. At the end of Parsha Zeskanon, we have spoken about this a little bit. So the child's going to ask you when that's going to happen in the future. There's going to be a time in the future where your child's going to ask you, "What are the edus, the chukim, mishpatim, shetzifu Hashem alkeinu eschem?" So you're going to answer, "We were avodim." Okay, so the child asked one of the Eidos to Chukim Mishpatim, Shitzvah Hashem Akenu Haskha. So he seems to be asking a simple question. What are the mitzvahs? Right? So you tell us we were Avodim, the Rosh Hashanah took us on Mitzrayim, he made Oysos and Moivsim, he took us out to give us Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and the Rosh commanded us to do these mitzvahs, which it's going to be good for us, it's going to be a chiyus for us, and it's going to be considered a merit if we do it. So his question was, "What are the? Give me a list of the entire mitzvahs." That was a bad answer, right? So we'll have to understand that the word "more" not so much as what are they, but like why? You know, what's that concept of the mitzvahs? And we don't answer the question until we give this background. We were avodim, the Rosh took us out of Mitzrayim, Isis and Moisim Befarai, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael. And now, the Bereshit, in that context, you can understand the Bereshit commands us the Chukim, which are Liyaros Hashem Lekeinu Lekeinu is Yiro. The Tovlanu Kol Yomim V'Chayesed Lekeinu Mazet. So we don't necessarily connect the concept of Yiro with the Tovlanu. It's going to be great for us. You know, it's good for us. It's a Chiyas for us. V'Chayesed Lekeinu Mazet. And Sokhan Yiro is going to be considered a merit for us. Right? So there's a very interesting response that you have to the child. Okay. So we are introduced as we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Clients are introduced multiple times the concept of Simcha.
Well,
it's a command to have Simcha. So command to have Simcha is also like an interesting concept. I command you to be attentive, and be happy. You know? Stop kvetching, just be happy. You know, usually, it doesn't work. That's the first point. So okay, so now we've decided now that it doesn't, you know, that some other, it's possible to command to be happy. Remember, like, you know, how the thought developed. You know, somebody asked me, like, you know, that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So somebody said as a vitz, you know, when you're right of happiness, so when you run after something, it runs away from you. Happiness is not something you can pursue. Happiness is a byproduct. When a person has X amount going in his life a certain way, he'll be happy. But the pursuit of happiness is by definition, is going to be something which is not going to work. You cannot pursue happiness. And here we have a command, v'samachta. It means apparently there's a vehicle, just be v'sameach. It's interesting, in the Orchos Tzadikim, in Shara Simcha, he talks about different ways that, you know, the things that you do which will produce happiness. But again, he's sort of assuming that you cannot directly tell this person, just be happy. Decide to be happy, and that's it. You know, that it's an effect of different things, which he's assuming will generate happiness in a person. The Vilna Gaon says, famous Vilna Gaon, that there's a mitzvah on Sukkot to be happy. It's the hardest mitzvah in the whole Torah, he says. Because that means that for 8 days, Midaraisa, for 8 days, you're not allowed to have one moment where you're unhappy.
Wow.
Like that's extremely hard to do. You know, the fellow pulled into the parking spot just after he went after 15 minutes, you know. But oh, I'm so happy, you know. Right? We don't like think along those lines, right? There's a Rambam in Parshas Bukhu, talked about the council of Parshas Bukhu Kosai, where Baron Cutler and his Mishnah Baron talks about it, and the Toichacha on Bukhu Kosai, maybe even more than over here. So it starts off, the Simon over here, with a tremendous discussion of Bracha. If it's a Zaytalechu, it's going to be, the world's going to be functioning in this extraordinarily productive, pleasant, comfortable way. And if not, this is that. So the question they're grappling with is the Tzchar Mitzvah by Hamalek. Hashem doesn't reward mitzvahs, and he doesn't. The true reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. So what's this first half over here? And then what's the second half? So the Rambam says that the Tzchar for the mitzvahs is not now. That's not what I'm talking about. But if we truly desire to go in the way of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Russian is going to create a world where it will be easier to serve him. So he's going to give us all of this bounty to allow us to be free to spend our time focusing on what we really want to focus on. It's very hard to focus on growth and all the other things. You're busy trying to make a buck. Well, if we turn this bounty and everybody will have everything they need, now we can focus on the growth as a yid. That's what the Rambam says. The Mishnah Baron, he takes that concept a little bit further and he says, so then the Toichacha is there's a state of being that the world should, it means there's an optimal state of being how the world should function. The Rambam says that you can access that optimal being, that's the optimal state of being of how the world can function. It's available if this car has many, many features. Brand new car, many, many features. Like nowadays, they got an extraordinary amount of features in the car. Right? But if you abuse the car, a lot of the features just don't function. You use the car properly, all the features are available. If you don't, the brakes are going to fail on you. And it's going to be really messy. That's what's happening in the second half, Robin said. It's not a punishment. It is the result. It's a natural result.
Because the word tachat.
No, he just says that based on the Rambam. You know, this idea of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that we're not discussing reward or punishment over here. So then, if it's not punishment, what is it? Saying it's the Baruch Hashem said, I set up a world where there are elements which, if you're not connected to the Torah. I set up a world where, if that's the situation, the world is random. The world has elements of negativity. The world has elements of evil people in it. This is all part of the reality of the world. So, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, Kleisel is simply picked out for that because they were tied simply to Kiyamatara. But there's an element of destructive behavior results in destruction. It manifests as destruction. Productive behavior manifests in being productive. So this is the natural consequences of what's happening. That's what Brian Cutler says. So hit me like this. I can't do this with Cheshvan on every one of the targets. It's like, you know, some of them definitely are, you know, beyond a little bit. But part of what Rav Hirsch was trying to do in his Iskar Rav was to show how each mitzvah, there's a, whenever you're looking for Tama mitzvah, the Sefer Chinuch in his way, Rav Hirsch in his way, what you're trying to do is to show you how, in a sense of something which makes logical to us, this is a good thing. So we're not necessarily looking at that, you know, it's a good thing because it's this extraordinary spiritual concept. Most of the mitzvahs, if we could keep our problems in check, they'd be very beneficial for us. The idea of taking off time every single day to stop and to contemplate about the purpose of life and thanking the source of that, and it's a phenomenal thing, right? Tefillah is like such a tefillah. Tefillah is the most natural state of being of human being. We're a creation. There's a creator. He made himself available to talk to, so you wouldn't talk to him. Of course you would talk to him. And it's the most relaxing thing in the world. I can go talk to my creator and work out my help, ask for help. Like, wow, I'm so safe. No, I'd rather do it myself. You know, so a two-year-old says self, right? Because he needs to prove that he's independent. Right? You have a healthy, functioning, normal human adult whose his psyche is normal. I don't need to prove myself every single time. I'm happy to ask for help. As well, if you ask for help, it means something wrong with you, really, because otherwise you're not really the gavra, because you can prove that you're a great man by not needing help. I don't need to prove anything. I don't have low self-esteem that I have to be able to overcome it by, right? So there's a being available to give you help. Ask. Like a natural thing. It has to be one of the most comforting things of the whole day. Now, our problem is that our tefillah doesn't look like that. Right? But if we stop and think about the natural way of flow of tefillah, that's what it would be. Right? You start thinking about I think we discussed this once. Many of the mitzvahs. So there's a mitzvah, there's l'sisul avchei, do not hold a complaint against somebody. Right? So that's what Rambam Taisha said. You know, be meichel, move on with life. Healthiest thing in the world. What's the other option? Hold on to something, the karma, it's here. It's a good idea. The Torah commanded me not to do it. It's the most unhealthy thing in the world. Who gets consumed by nekama? The guy who's walking around with it, right? He's walking around with this grudge. It messes up his kishas. You know what? Whatever was, move on with life. Elamai was, and it's hard. Well, you know what? There's a bari arlam. He has a cheshbon, but the Russian will take care of it. Don't worry about it. It's not your job. Okay, great. Healthiest thing in the world. Lasachway, we should walk around jealous. Because it's a good meter. It's totally unhealthy. Society is going to function in a normal way if people be stealing from each other. I mean, so many parts of the Torah just are totally. When we would stop, that's sort of mishpatim or pasha like that, right? But you know, we first talked about the chukim. We saw that, you know, the chukim are create a system where everything in the world it has a function. Everything in the world is safe. Great. So the natural response to that is simcha. Simcha is not rejoicing. That's sosin. Simcha is used, like the Gaon says, that sosin is outward rejoicing, and simcha is the inner feeling of happiness, contentment, right? Merriam-Webster, right? A feeling of contentment. That's what he defines happiness, right? It's just like you feel good. Terror says what? Why don't we feel good? So, a person feels danger. That's hard to feel good. Person, if feels the world's not working out the way he wants it to work out, his life's not working the way he wants it to, doesn't feel good. Person feels is not productive, doesn't feel good. So, the Torah gave you a way to feel productive. The Torah gave you a vehicle to understand that you're not really in charge of the world. All anger and frustration are all predicated on the fact that it's supposed to work out one way, and it didn't work out that way. That assumption came from where?
You.
Right? I decided this is the way it's supposed to work out because I deserve this, or everyone else has it. Right? Where did those come from? Like, because of Kina, where it came from. So the Russians, I have an answer for that too. So, there's... Trust me. Trust me, so then there's nothing bad, sad about it. Why now? Right? And why is it important that the mitzvah have to be understood? That the child's asking. The Mechilta quotes this is the Ben Chacham. This is in the Haggadah. This is the son of the Chacham. And the question wasn't, right, what were the mitzvahs? The question was like, how am I supposed to understand this concept of the mitzvahs? And the answer is that the mitzvahs Rashi gave us because they're good for us. They're a chiyus for us. It's stuck at the alone, and it's going to be a merit to do them. That is the answer you give the child. Which hopefully by the Seder, when you look at how the Rashi set up the relationship, it's not exactly a malchus, in the sense of yes, we have to listen to him because he's the master. But it's not an arbitrary point that the master says, "Do whatever I want because I want it." It's not good for you. That's wrong. The lesson of Yitzchak Mitzrayim was it's good for you. Hashem cares about you, and therefore when he gave you the mitzvahs, he didn't give the mitzvahs. Hashem gave the prophets out of Mitzrayim, gave us the mitzvahs. He says, I want you to trust me that I care about you, and I'm going to give this strong message that I care about you by everything that I did, the oysters, the webs, etc. So now when I give you the mitzvahs, you understand they're not about me, they're about you. It's sort of easier to do that in the midbar. Well, I mean, your mamish living with the anonym and the mon and the bear, you know, like, so the brush is mamish taking care of you. Yes, so you have that trust to be talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have anything else to do anyways. Nobody's missing any. There's no chesaron in this world. You're not living in a world of chesaron. They're lacking. So the simcha is always the feeling of the biggest challenge to simcha is I feel lacking. And when I feel that lack has been addressed, I feel simcha. Well, what were they lacking in the midbar? Nothing. But you're going to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is going to be a whole new hanhaga. Moshe Rabbeinu was introducing, you're going to go in Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be a whole new ballgame. And you have a choice what your attitude is. So one example is in this week's parsha. So Bikurim. A master, a melech gives off to one of his avodim. He gives him a nice parcel of land. He says, "Listen, it's I own many pieces of land. From now on, this land is yours, and you get to work it and take the produce, etc." So what would the avod do? Right? He'd be tremendously grateful. So each year, he would take some of the best that it produces and bring it as a present back to the one who gave him the present, because that'd be the natural response. So he's focusing on that he got this tremendous matana. So if that's your attitude, you're tremendously appreciative. You're happy. If it's your land, and then I'm giving away to somebody else, these pieces, it's not producing as much as I want, whatever it is, you can't be happy. If you understand that the Baruch Hashem giving it to you, that Erzel is giving to you, it's Baruch Hashem in the language, he's giving to you as a matana, because he cares about you, and you should be appreciative of that, you're going to be happy. So before they go there to Israel, they need to have an attitude addressed. What's happening now? Now, life is the exact same thing. We sort of assume life. Imagine a person who wouldn't assume life. And every day we wake up and say, extraordinary, the Russian was nice enough to give me another day of life. It's emotion. Happiness. Misamachta. Now, that is exactly the reality of life. Which we just don't do that. So the Russian says, okay, so I'm going to give you mitzvahs, which will remind you that's what's happening. So therefore, you will appreciate what you have and be happy. That the natural consequence of that is happiness. So the samachta is not the command in the sense of, you know, the command is go be happy. And the Rishon says, and if you don't appreciate all the things I'm giving you to help you, that this is mamash going to make the world function as best as possible for you, every which way. And if it's not, it's a mess. That's the tachacha. So tachas, instead of, it's not a punishment. There's a command of simcha, and there's a punishment for not doing simcha. And then I'm going to motivate you to be a simcha, because otherwise you're going to get punished. But that's like, which is like the greatest way to motivate a kid. Listen, be happy, or I'm going to beat you up. I don't know, it just doesn't, I wouldn't be motivated by that. Right? Many times that we stop and think about this, it's just taking a step weiter. I had a situation. Somebody, you know, interfaced with somebody. Person I really put myself out for, you know, famous mice with some surface, and whoever says somebody really was really wronged him tremendously. He says, whoever said, I don't understand what favor I did him that he should pay me back like this for. Right? That's the nature of the world. If you do somebody a favor, what you get back is like really, you know.
Just looking at the page
number. Yeah, I'm in the Chukhazah right now. Right? So, I did this person a favor, and the person paid me back, you know, with not. Shortly afterwards, the person approached me for help. So I helped him. So my wife was not 100% happy with me. Like, you know, this person walked all over you, and you just turn around and, you know, and were nice to him. So I said to her that I have multiple reasons why I did it. It wasn't just them, because I'm a wimp. Maybe I am, but that wasn't the issue. I said, and I had to work it through. I said, first of all, I can't be a person who's stuck in, for my own health. I don't want to be stuck in my attitude to other people, negative attitude to other people. I can't deal with it. I said, but nowadays, I said, people don't understand when you stay. So what's the problem? Because he insulted me. He didn't respect me the way he should have respected me. He didn't respect what I really represent, who I am. So he walked over. He didn't give me cover. So I'm going to get upset. He's going to say, oh, maybe Rangel's being wants cover. How much cover do you get when you say you want cover? Zero. Instead, I say, well, Rangel's a person, you know, who's able to move on and not get upset about things. I get COVID. I get more COVID by being mavata than I get by not being mavata. So I said, my yetzer hara says be mavata. My yetzer hara says be mavata. So which side says not to be mavata? Right. If you think about it, if you really think about it, most times that's really the reality. Right. The only thing is, we get confused along the way. What the yetzer hara's line is, listen, you want to enjoy this life. Okay, I'm in. But I realize eating too much food seems like enjoyment right now, but I'm going to be sick tomorrow. Whereas if I eat in moderation, I'll actually feel really good tomorrow. So the issue is not what we're fighting about, whether it's a good idea to enjoy life. That's not the issue. The issue is, what's a good practice of doing that? So the Torah says eat in moderation. So that's all. Oh, it's against Yetzer Hara. It's not against Yetzer Hara. It's just telling you how to use the world properly. It's the user manual of how to get the best, most benefit out of the world. Right? Yeah, the Torah says there's an issue of that the Vilti Ruma, according to many Rishonim, that the Pasuk says that even a melech can't be a Baal Gaiva. What's the other option? On a non-Torah concept, a person walking around with a Baal Gaiva, is it good for him? Get out of his morals. Is he going to have friends? Are people going to like him? Is he going to be able to connect to people? Is he going to feel that at the end of the day, when he looks back at his lifetime, he says, wow, I had such a great life. Right? I looked down my life, my nose, everybody in the world, and I had no connections. Wonderful life. What's the problem? The problem is, he doesn't think about it, Peshas Maisa. The Torah isn't telling you, listen, I understand it's much better that to talk more geschmack, but lemaise, it's a mitzvah to do otherwise. That's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying, if you look, so there's a drush in the Ran, I told you once. The Ran says, the Mishnah says that, so the Zikne Amor, the older they get, the more their mind is mitarefes. Tirnachomim, the more their mind is miyashevis. It says, Poshatayichi says, Yotayichi means that Tirnachomim, their mind's settled and they're clear, etc. And Amaratzim, go see now. Says, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Never, there's Tirnachomim, go see now. There's Amaratzim, who are totally hale and hearty with their mind totally intact. They can tell you every single baseball score in 97, you know. Right? So, you know, and immoral, whatever, you know. So, that's not what it means. He says, when a person's younger, a person makes a choice of a path to follow. And there's two paths. There's a path which seems to be a lot of difficulty. You have to refrain from certain things, etc. And at the time, you're not sure if you made the right decision. The older you get, you realize more and more how good of a decision it was. So your daito mishiyavas aleim, your decision, your das, settles. Says the Amoritz made a decision he was young also. And at that time, he was comfortable with that decision. It seemed to be quite a wonderful decision. The older he gets, the more he regrets. And the more his mind starts banging at him, what'd I do? That's what the Mishnah is saying. So what's the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that you shouldn't be happy. The Torah is just telling you that, by the way, that the happiness means a long-term view as opposed to a short-term view. Okay. So the point over here of the mitzvahs of Samachta, the point of these mitzvahs is the Torah is not coming against simple. The Torah, I don't know, but is telling you that I'm going to give you a mamash, the manual which explains to you how a person could be happy. The people who indulge in anger, the Torah says, don't get angry. Right? The people indulge in anger, like, you know, the mitzvah not to be angry. That's the problem. You know, ask a doctor how many negative things happen to your body, you'll get angry. Elamai, what the Torah says, how you learn not to be angry, you need humility. How do you get humility? There are certain mitzvahs that will help you be more humble. Right? I think if you start going through all the studies that, you know, the children, as much as they, you know, complain, etc., they want rules. They want to really live in a world which is orderly. So the Torah gives us rules. We have a father, and he gave us rules. Do I have to understand every single rule? No. If I trust my father, that he cares about me, he's doing what's good for me, you know, it's good to be in a place where things make sense. As opposed to, if I have to make all the decisions, it's like, the job one time told me, he said, you know, one of his, he has, you know, he has people he interfaces with, like, to try to figure out what in the world is, how does it make sense? This guy, successful lawyer, and he's this Orthodox Jew. So he said to him, you understand, I live in a cyclical world. I live in this very, I'm in the state of Mamish, extraordinary place. I know exactly how to use the world. You got to figure it out. How do you figure out how to use the world? How do you figure out what's good for what's bad? What's good for you? What's bad for you? What's good for the world? What's good for that? How do you figure that out? With the puny human mind? I know. I'm confident. I know what's best for the world because the one who made it told me. But come on, like, how can you better than that? What's best for me? What's best for the world? But to try and figure out with the human mind, you know, it's experiment after experiments. How many communists believe that they found the real answer, what the best way to run the world? How many human beings were killed because of that? Right? It came from a bad place? Karl Marx was coming from a good place. He cared about people. The result? It was a good experiment. Right? So you want to do an experiment with, you know, with lab animals, one thing. But it was an experiment. And the next thing is another experiment. Like, you know, the human beings, we're smart, but there's a limit to how much we can figure out the consequences and how things play out in real life. And what's the problem? Power is half the issue. Okay? Do you have a vehicle to... In your plan, do you have a vehicle to address the power issue? No. That's a bad plan. Well, I wasn't trying to address that problem. Yeah, but it's not going to work. Because you put people in a position of authority, they like to maintain that and take advantage of it. So your Stalin is going to make sure that Stalin stays Stalin. Right? If he has to kill everybody out along the way, well, that wasn't part of the plan. So it's not communism's fault. Yes, it is. Because if you're going to take away everything else, which all the religion, which was supposed, gives man a vehicle to be humble and deal with the issues of the intoxication that power offers, you cannot take that away and say, well, listen, I'm addressing everybody should have equal wealth. Why? Because everybody cares about the common good. Really? What motivates them to do that? Like, so now I understand that human minds are complex, human beings are complex, the world is complex, and there's going to be this manual which is very complex. I'm not going to understand every single detail in the manual, but I know there's a manual. It's great. Our attitude to Torah should be this warm, fuzzy feeling. And if you don't get that, eventually you're not going to. It's you're not using the manual right. And eventually it's going to deteriorate into the mess called the Teichach. So that's the thought process. It would be a nice exercise to take, go through all the Torah mitzvahs and try and understand them.
Start.
Or at least, not the old timers, the 270 mitzvahs, which, the Chofetz Chaim makes a list. Or the game is one of that. So we just cut down to less than half. Right? And the mitzvah say, and the mitzvah say, and we realize that, the Torah is addressing so many different elements of the nature of man in so many different ways. So there's the mitzvah saying, brachas before you have food. Because after you have food, so you would stop and think about what the concept of eating food is. Only what we don't use the medicine as prescribed, so we don't get the results. Take as prescribed. When it says make a bracha before it, doesn't mean forever. Yeah, I understand. Okay, so now is there a mitzvah in the Torah which helps me address this issue of saying bracha so quickly? So there is, but that you also got to take that medication as prescribed, So the Rosh says, listen, that part I can't do for you. I'm giving you this wonderful user's manual. If you use it as prescribed, it does wonderful things for you. So, there's a book from Rabbi Dr. Gottlieb, Zalman Gottlieb. Used to be a professor in Hopkins, professor of philosophy. Al-Tshuva. He now is a Rebbe in Or Sameach in Yerushalayim. So they put out a book from him, Art School, in the 80s. For sure, probably in the 80s still. Addressing some of the philosophical issues of understanding Torah mitzvahs, etc. One of the questions he deals with is the chosenness, because obviously this was a big ticket item. Chosenness still is, Zionism is racism was based on this idea of chosenness. Jews think they're better, so it means that looking at everybody else means that's a racist. Right, so what is chosenness? So some people answer chosenness means that we're given special abilities. So this way, we're not being racist, we're just saying we have abilities. Some of it means we've given a special role to play in the world. We're chosen for this role. So it's a responsibility. It's not a quote-unquote, just the idea we're better and we get more. It's we are given responsibility. So that's he says, he finds difficulty with each one of those answers based on the primary sources in the Rishonim that would not fit with those ideas. So he says that he cannot describe the idea of chosenness in a single word or single phrase. He says, I want to give you an example of what chosenness looks like. So that's called the tzaddik. The tzaddik is the person who takes the medication as prescribed, and you get an extraordinary result. And that extraordinary result is what it means Klai Yisrael was given the Torah. Now that's the element of chosenness which we're given. We're given the affinity and the ability to take medicine as prescribed. And the results are extraordinary. And again, I'll give you a few examples of what the power of a tzaddik is, which means what the power of Torah when used properly is. See, he gives an example over there of this famous Maestro Moshe Feinstein with his hand on the door. That the young man gave Moshe a ride.
Oh, yeah.
And then as Moshe was getting out of the car, he closed he closed the door in Moshe's hand. Now that's extraordinarily painful. Moshe didn't say a word. Didn't say anything. Gave no indication at all that he was in pain. So afterwards, somebody who was there asked, like, why the Moshe was. He says, this young man did me a favor. I couldn't make him feel bad. Like, he responded to physical pain in an extraordinary way because his sensitivities towards others' feelings were so enhanced, and he was so attuned to the. Imagine what the barker would feel like. Two cents is not a good, you know, is being generous. Right? You feel like negative $1,000, you know, negative $1,000,000. Right? You feel like a horrible fool, every single thing that, you know, so I can do that to him because I'm in pain? That's an extraordinary, you know, that's the example that he gave. And, you know, we all have our stories, you know, with these type of things. And it's like, you know, it's Taka right. That's an extraordinary functioning, it's a high functioning being that the Torah produces. That's the prescription that's taken. And the results are awesome. You look at the person and say, wow, everybody wants to be like him. And we have to believe that he inside of himself feels appreciation of what he has. Not as the Balgaiva, but as a Karsa Toiv, to the extraordinary material the Russian gave him and allowed him to be this. So I want more. End of two thoughts. Shir Reb Chaim, I once asked him that in the Michtamim from Dessler, they write, the Tavidim asked him, I mentioned this to you one time, the Tefillah, we say every Shabbos, Yom Tov, Ritzev Nechusenu, Kashen Mitzasecha, Vesen Tugenu Mitzasecha. Get that. Sabenu Mitzvecha, Vesamchen Mitzvecha. Sabenu Mitzvecha, I get that. What's the benefit of that? We should be satisfied. So what's that tefillah? Right? So it's referring to Gashmius and to Ruchnius. It says Gashmius doesn't make sense. It should be Gashmius. It does not the flow of the rest of the paragraph. So it means Ruchnius. Who wants to be Sabeba Ruchnius? You always want more. Ah, Brusha, I learned enough for today. Thank you. Good day. Let's go play tennis instead. You know. Time up, no more learning. Right, what does it mean? So he left it as a question. So I was back in Cleveland for Sukkot. Don't ask me how many years ago. It was a while back already. And I was visiting my Rashi Reb Chaim Zichron Livracha in his Sukkah. And I asked him this question. So he said to me, without batting an eyelash, he says, imagine I serve you a piece of chocolate cake. Right? And you enjoy it very much. You must have a geschmack, like a svi out of it. So what happens? You want more. So the svi from this chocolate cake motivates you to have more. So some people do mitzvahs, and they feel like, oh, I didn't do enough. You know, yes, that pushes you to some extent, but eventually you resent it. Torah is creating pressure on me. A person does a mitzvah and says, wow, I feel so good if I did the mitzvah. I'm not saying stop here. I'm saying, well, I really feel good about it. Let's do it again. All right. So Maseret Nevechah means I should feel a sviya in the tzuv tayv that I'm involved in from the Torah. I should mamash feel sviya from it. It should feel mamash kishmak. I feel full with this kishmak of feeling. And the result is, do it again. That's how he answered the pshat in the tefillah. You know, whether it's pshat in the tefillah, I don't know, but the thought process is like, wow. It's a pshat. You think about it, it's a simple idea, but it's such a significant point of how we relate to Torah mitzvahs. So you look at, I have to assume, you look at, Rav Moshe wasn't saying, wow, I'm such a big Valgaiva, I'm so wonderful. He wasn't saying it to himself. He wasn't saying, wow, I did enough, I can really rest here. He's saying, wow, that felt so good to do such a good thing, let me do it again. Because Rav Moshe gave me such a gemolding matana of the hadrach of the Torah, which allowed me to be sensitive to somebody else's feelings and make a person feel good.
Is it true that a goof can only contain a certain amount of kedusha?
Is it true? I someone says true, but that limit is quite extraordinary. It's a process, and that can happen overnight. But the point what I'm trying to say is, normally we look and listen. I'm a goof, and I don't really want that stuff. But I'm going to force, my shama is going to force me to try to get that stuff.
So sevia is according to the goof.
No. Mm-hmm. That's what Shimon Chama is saying. The sevia of doing a mitzvah is in the neshama. I feel good about doing the mitzvah.
No, the neshama is in a goof.
Give me your energy of thought. I'm not following. Where are you going with it?
So that means the reason there is a sevia is because it's a cap.
That's the normal type of sevia, and that's what Shiva Chaim was saying. That's not the pshat. When I feel a sevia from eating a piece of cake, it doesn't mean that I have a limit. I have more room for cake, but there's a certain geschmack you feel eating cake. That's the sevia that's referring to. That's how he touches the lashon of sevia with them. So I just heard of my sort of Marsha this week, last week. Which again, like, you know, you see that Marsha was sitting by, it was in the 60s, Marsha was sitting by the by Chasna, by the Kabbalah's opponent. And in those days, Marsha's name was known, but his picture wasn't necessarily known. You know, we saw a picture like, you know, we know what Marsha looks like. That's... Imagine before they made get the big thing about putting pictures of Gdolim all over the place, how do you know what he looks like? Mechadesi. I mean, I had this. Did have you over? I went there to Israel in 1989, and one of the people I went to speak to was Rav Shlomo Zalman. So I was told if you go to the Grosh Shul and Shari Chesed, you can catch him after Marv and walk him home. So I took a monit to there, and I got there like a minute too late. And he already left. So I asked somebody where he lives, and they told me where he lives. So I walked down the street. And the mice, what happened was I passed by Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know what he looked like. I never saw a picture of him. I don't know what he looked like. He lived on the second floor, and there was like outside stairs going up all the way to the second floor, and there was a landing in the middle. So I went up to the second floor. There's an elderly gentleman talking to somebody else on that landing. I walked by, and as I walked by, I heard the conversation. I realized the person was asking the person him a shayla. And I said, "You know what? That's probably who I need." And I stepped back, but like I was ready to walk by him. Like, I don't know what he looked like. Okay, so Marsha's sitting by this, you know, over there, and a person walks up to Marsha and gives him $1. He said, "Give him a shuluch," you know. Now. Moshe chapped that by the chuppah they're going to call him up for a kibbutz. Now what's going to happen? They call Moshe up for a kibbutz. The guy's embarrassed. I feel like a fool. I went to the Gadol Dor and I gave him $1. I mean, you got to be pretty embarrassed on that one, right? You know. So Moshe went around the rest of the chassid collecting money, which he wasn't planning to do. That's why the person, it's Ramosha, but the Meister Ramosha Taka was collecting money, so I feel bad. I don't feel so bad. So I gave him money, because he Taka was collecting money. So he spent the chassid collecting money, the person shouldn't feel bad. like the sensitivity and the thought process that, you know, the chap is good also, like the lamb that is there, you know, right? So that's where Regalia's point is. Those are there to give us a picture of what Torah can do for you. I want that. It might take me a long time to get there, but that's the picture I want. I see godless all of them. I see what it looks like, and say, "Wow, I'm in." I would feel very good if I was like that. That would feel good. It's not something which, you know, listen, I'd rather be whatever. But the mice, you know, it's a mitzvah on the Torah. I got to do it. You know, that's not the goal. Now, at some stage of our life, I might say, you know what, you know, someone one time told me that the Manchester Shiva, he was there for Elul. One of my chavrim left Hells and went to Manchester for an Elul to spend there just to, you know, observe, to make a connection, just learn from the Segels, that's how, the Manchester Shiva was a tzaddik. He told me that he realized while he was there, the Segel did not make any move or even say a word without thinking for him. Beforehand, thinking about it, if he wants to do that or not. So I was like 26 at the time, and my reaction was, I'm not sure I want to live like that. I'm not sure I want to live like that. You know, that's very intense, you know? If all you saw was that little picture of him, the answer is yes. But you read the biography and realize how warm he was and how wonderful he was and how many people he was able to help and how happy he was. You realize that that self-control was a vehicle to bring him to make his life being productive and accomplishing and having a tremendous impact on many people, which what left him feeling very happy. I want that. So if you just see this little picture of mitzvah, it looks like burdensome. You see the overall results, what it produces, it's not burdensome. Yeah, it's a long process to get there, and I'm not sure I have the stamina to do it right now. Okay, it's a different issue. But understanding what Torah is about, Torah is wonderful. And the raya to that is that what Regalia was saying, the raya to what the Torah, the benefit of the Torah is the person that person that you can see, and look what it produces. And if we see enough of that picture, we say, wow, I would like to be like that. That has to be such a wonderful, warm, happy state of contentment to be in such a reality. Not that contentment, the point, I'm not going to try harder. That's what Shiva Khan was saying. A contentment which motivates you to do more. Okay.
So that's a great explanation. But but that's an individual. That's like one person, right? That is the example, serving as the example, right?
Right.
So then God could have given the Torah to individuals, to the whole world, and say, you know, there's an individual. You know, it's for everybody. You want to do it. You know, it didn't have to be a nation. It didn't have to be given to. So to speak,
I'm not really addressing that. I'm just addressing that we did get the Torah. We need to know how to measure what, you know. You need to. I give you a matana. I give you a very nice watch. You don't know what, you know. So I show you all the functions of the watch. You don't appreciate what I gave you, right? So I said, well, listen, that guy, whether he has the watch, and look what he's done with it. He's done, no, 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 no. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I appreciate the watch. Now, why did I give you the watch and somebody else the watch? I'm not answering that question. But now that I gave you the watch, appreciate the watch. And look at him. He really did a lot of good stuff with that watch. Right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, right. That's, no, so that's the goal, is to learn from the individual, to learn how to apply that to
learn to appreciate what we have as an extraordinary matana.
Yeah.
And then that creates the simcha. Okay.
So that's like the Rebbe in Chassidus. But the Rebbe maybe is more than that also, but definitely that. Right?
Yes, sure. I was reading the Rebbe Gottlieb, this is a Chassid. right? He's a Boston or Chosid. But as I was reading, he says, okay, the point of Chosid is the tzaddik. I said, oh my gosh, here we go. And he brings a story with the Moshe Feinstein. I was like, one second, confused Chosid.
Same idea, really. It really brings it home. That's really.
Yeah.